All right, so I always like to review. I'm the big review guy. So over the last few lessons, we've talked about Abraham. Remember Abraham?
Abraham.
Remember, it was not Abraham Lincoln. Remember some of the promises. God, there was three specific promises. Anybody remember any of the promises God made to Abraham? He was going to give him, Miranda?
A big nation.
A big nation, yes. A lot of descendants, a large family. And that was kind of a hard one for Abraham to believe because he was getting up there in age. Okay, so he promised him a son, a family. Okay, he promised him land that his descendants would be in someday. And he promised him, that's okay. And he promised him one of his descendants on down the road would be a blessing to the whole world. And who was that? Jesus, yes, Jesus. Okay. So then Abraham had a son. Anybody remember his name?
Isaac,
very good. And what did Isaac's name mean? It made his mommy...
Laughter.
Laughter, yes, it made his mommy laugh. Laughter, and then Isaac had a son named...
Jacob.
Excellent, Jacob and Esau. Okay. And then Jacob had a name change. What did his name? What did God change his name into? Anybody remember?
Isaac.
Dakota, you remember, don't you? What did God change? What did God change Jacob's name into?
Don't come.
It's the children of
Israel.
Excellent, Dakota. Excellent. Okay. And then. That's the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? That's how we get that, okay? So there's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob changed his name to Israel. That's God establishing his chosen people, Israel. And then move further along. Who was the person that led the Israelites out of Egypt? The person that God put in charge of the Israelites to lead them out of Egypt. Anybody remember his name? Eliana?
Moses.
Excellent. Moses, okay? And then God gave the law to Moses, did he not? Wrote on the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. And he set up the nation of Israel. And they were supposed to be, a lighthouse. I went over this in my Sunday school lesson last week. For those of you who were in my Sunday school lesson, that would be you, Ian and Jack. Ian and Jack. Israel was supposed to be a lighthouse. They were supposed to draw people towards them to get to know the true and living God. Okay? Their priests were supposed to teach the people the word of God, okay? But their priests messed up. They eventually had kings. Their kings messed up, okay? And that's what we kind of talked about last week with Mr. Dewberry's lesson, how Jeremiah, when the prophet Jeremiah said that there was trouble coming. There was trouble coming because the Israelites, they messed up. They didn't do their job, and God chastised them. So he sent invaders to come and invade and take them over, okay? So that's a little background, okay? There was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then there was Moses and the law, and then there was the time of the judges, okay? Joshua, remember Joshua? He led them into the promised land. And then there was the kings. Remember the kings? Remember who the first king of Israel was? Anybody remember? Isaac?
Saul.
Excellent, Isaac. Saul. Okay, who was the next king? After Saul?
David.
Excellent. David, okay? And then there was Solomon, and he built the temple. And we all remember all this stuff, right? It's kind of the history lesson of Israel. And by the way, this isn't just made-up stories. This is true history, straight from your Bible. You can count on your Bible. It's true. It's authentic. It's correct. Okay? But Israel messed up. Israel turned away from God. Okay, whether it was during the times of the judges, whether it was when they wandered around in the wilderness right after the Exodus, whether it was King Saul messing up, or King David messing up, or King Solomon messing up, they kept messing up. Okay, and God allowed them to be overtaken. Okay, God kind of gave them a whooping. But, and that leads me to today's lesson. And what our question was, what was the question? Can we go back? Yeah. Does God have a bigger plan for the world? Does God have a bigger plan for the world? Okay. Well, yes, he does. Okay. And that plan is the Messiah, Christ. That plan is Jesus. Okay? So today we're going to look in our Bibles in two places. I'm in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Okay? If you had to say, what is the job of Micah? What if he had to fill out a card that says, my job is, what would you say the job of Micah is? Or Isaiah? Or Jeremiah? Or Amos? What is their job description, would you say? Or Isaiah? Anybody know what these people did? Anybody remember what their job was? Excellent. To put it another way, prophets. They were prophets. God gave them a message. God gave them a word to tell. And they had to tell it exactly 100% clearly just how God told them to tell it. And Micah was one of those guys. He was a prophet. Okay? So if you're reading your Old Testament books, okay, there's a lot of them that are prophets writing. And they're writing exactly what God told them to say. And here's what Micah says. In chapter 5, verse 2, it says, but O you, Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, Judah was one of the sons of Israel, one of the 12 tribes, you're too little to be among the sons of clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days. Okay, Ileana, advance one. Okay, here's our map lesson for tonight, guys. Here's the Mediterranean Sea. Here's the Sea of Galilee. Here's the Dead Sea. There's the Jordan River that runs between those two. Okay, and up here in Galilee, this is the area where Jesus kind of grew up in most of his time when he was growing up in Nazareth. Okay, up in here. And down in here, let's see, there's Jerusalem. And if you can see right here, that's Bethlehem. Anybody know what's special about Bethlehem? We just read it in Micah 5, 2. It says, from you, O Bethlehem, shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days. What's special about Bethlehem, Dakota? Yes, excellent. Jesus was born there. So if you read your Old Testament, if you were back in the times of when Jesus was born, and you're like, I wonder where Jesus is going to be born. If you were reading your Old Testament, you would know. Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem because the prophet Micah said so. Well, God told him to say so. All right? So that's another authentication of the Bible, another proof of the Bible. The Bible's true. And when Micah wrote this many, many years before Jesus' birth, he was right, and boy, it must have been a miracle that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Well, it was part of God's plan, so he was born in Bethlehem. Now, this is the promised king. This is the king. This is the Messiah, okay? Quiet down now. And it came from the line of David, and we're getting ready to celebrate a holiday. It's going to be Thanksgiving, but the main one we celebrate after Thanksgiving is Christmas. And why do we celebrate Christmas, boys and girls? Yes, Miss Hughes? Yes, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. That's why. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Okay? The wonderful gift of God to us as sinners is Christ. And he was born in Bethlehem, this little city right here near Jerusalem in the region of Judea. Okay? Okay, just like Micah said it was going to happen, that's how it happened. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Okay, and that's why we celebrate Christmas, to remember the birth of Christ and what a wonderful gift he was to us. Now, moving on. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Here's what the Bible says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Okay? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Okay? His family lived up here in this region called Galilee. But then when it was time for Jesus to go to the cross, he knew it was coming, and he knew it was necessary. So he made a trip down this way towards Jerusalem. And when he rode into Jerusalem in the town, he was riding on a donkey, okay? A colt. It's a young male donkey, okay? Can you advance it to the next page? There's our donkey, okay? There's our donkey, okay? So that was prophesied by the prophet Zechariah, okay? And did it turn out just exactly as Zechariah prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9? Wow, it must have been a coincidence. No. Prophecy is always correct if it's coming from God, okay? So that's how Jesus arrived into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, okay? So, when it says, at the beginning we said, does God have a bigger plan for the world? Yes. God promised Christ, Jesus, the Messiah, okay? The true King of Israel, by the way. Remember that song we sang before? Behold our King. That's Christ. He's the King, okay? Okay, and we also sang another song, how our King would die for us, how our King would go to the cross for us. That other song we sang tonight, those are songs about Jesus. We're praising Him. We're thankful for Him, okay? But this was all in the Old Testament, too. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 told about how Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, okay, coming from that line of David, which is where David was from, Bethlehem. And Micah chapter 9, verse 9 talked about how he would come into town to Jerusalem at the time of his crucifixion, riding on a donkey. And that's how it happened. He came in on a donkey, okay? At the time, they were actually singing his praises. And they were happy to see Jesus, okay? But soon thereafter, the crowds would turn against Jesus, okay? Yes, Hosanna in the highest, okay? But soon after that, the crowds would turn against Jesus. And he would be turned over to the religious leaders of the day, and he would be beaten and made fun of and mocked and treated terribly, and eventually he would go to the cross, okay? Now, could Jesus have stopped all this? Did he have it in his power to stop all this from happening?
Yeah.
I believe he does, too. But he knew it was necessary. Why was it necessary? Because he had that word we learned just before, atonement and justification that Mr. Dewberry was teaching us about, that it had to happen that way. That was part of God's plan. Okay, and Christ had to go to the cross to pay for our sins. Okay? Now let me read one more thing here. I'm going to read the New Testament. This is Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 to 7. This is how Matthew records Jesus coming into town in Jerusalem. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me, and if anybody says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. Okay, Jesus telling, I'm the Lord. Okay, Jesus is saying, this is me, I'm the Messiah. Okay, this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. Which prophet spoke that? What did we just read? Who was the prophet? Micah talked about being born in Bethlehem. Which prophet did we just read about talking about Jesus coming in to town on a donkey? No? Starts with a Z. Zechariah. Excellent. Okay. So New Testament is saying, hey, look at this Old Testament scripture. This is being fulfilled. This prophecy is being fulfilled in Christ riding into town on the donkey, okay? And why is that important to us? Well, Christ came to seek and to save lost sinners. Part of God's plan. That was tonight's message. What's God's plan? It's a bigger plan. The new covenant, okay? Mr. Dewberry talked about there's an old covenant and a new covenant. Okay, the new covenant is Christ dying on the cross, being buried, paying for our sins on the cross, being buried and rising again. He was resurrected, okay? And if you and I, we're the rotten sinners in this equation. We're shaking our fist at God. We're rebelling against God. But God wants us to restore that relationship with Him. Come on now, just a couple more minutes. And the only way we can have that relationship restored, where we're not shaking our fists and we're not enemies with God, the only way we can have that relationship restored is if we trust Christ and believe what he did on the cross. We turn from our sins and say, we don't want to do those sins no more. I want to live in obedience to Christ. Okay, I want to trust him and put my faith in him and what he did for me on the cross. He took my place. Okay, remember how we said that God was holy and just? He demands justice. Okay, our sins have to be punished. Okay, but Christ took the punishment for us when he was on the cross. Everybody understand that? And if you will trust him, put your faith in him, then he'll save you. And you won't have to pay the penalty for your sins because he's paid that penalty for you on the cross. Everybody understand that? Okay. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we celebrate Easter. Because they're so wonderful to us. Christ was born. Christ lived a perfect, sinless life. Christ went to the cross for us, shed his blood to pay for our sins, took our place, atonement, was buried, and rose again. That's what we celebrate on Easter and every Sunday, really. We celebrate Christ rising again. Okay? And if you'll believe that and put your faith and trust in that, genuinely and sincerely, you'll go to heaven. Okay? Not because you deserve it or not because I deserve it. It's because Christ paid the price for us. Okay, does anybody have any questions about that? Everybody understand that? Okay, that's why we have ABC Kids in Sunday school. So we can teach boys and girls and grown-ups that important message. Okay, thank you for your attendance. Okay, and we'll have a quick word of prayer and then we'll probably go to the next step of our service tonight, whether it's a snack or I'm not sure what's next. Okay, but let's have a quick prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this lesson. How you had a plan for us. You had a plan for us for Christ to go to the cross to pay for our sins. And if we would put our faith and trust in him, he'll save us and we'll go to heaven. Lord, please save souls if it would be your will. And those of us who are already Christians, help us to spread this wonderful message and to serve you with obedience. Please forgive us of our sins and we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.